Well, a warm welcome to everyone here this afternoon. It's good to see the place so full. So welcome to each and every one of you, especially to Nathan, who's taking our service this afternoon, and for all those who have made the journey with him from Arnold Road, Nottingham, to share with us this afternoon. We also have a live stream that's up and running, and we welcome all those from wherever you are in the world to join with us this afternoon. And no meeting is complete without notices, so I have a few, and they may be a bit of a memory test with these, so please take note. The first notice is that an offering will be taken this afternoon as you leave for the pastoral work here. If you wish to contribute, and there is no obligation, then there are bags at the doors at the exits here, there are bags at the top of the stairs in the gallery, and there is also a box on the wall as you enter into the hall. Please make use of those as you leave. Refreshments will be served. This is the bit you need to pay attention to. Refreshments will be served after the service. Now, if you're downstairs, please take note, stay in your seat, and there will be those that bring refreshments to you while you're seated. If you're upstairs, you need to make your way down, otherwise you'll be waiting there for quite some time for the refreshments. So we have available dairy and gluten-free sandwiches and cakes and dairy-free beverages, and if you require any of these, please make that known to the person that is serving you. We meet tomorrow morning at 10:30 and again at 5:30 in the evening for our regular Sunday services, and God willing, our Pastor Daniel will be taking those services. It would be a real encouragement if the place was this full tomorrow morning. But on a serious note, if you don't regularly attend a church and you're local to this one, you would receive a very warm welcome if you arrived here tomorrow morning. Well, that concludes the notices. Now the introduction. For those of you who don't know, my name's Tim and I have the privilege of serving on the leadership here at Stowmarket Baptist Chapel. This is a special meeting to ordinate into the ministry Daniel Barden and to induct him into the position of pastor at the church here. The origins of the church here go back as far as 1790, with a branch work being established here on the 13th of December, 1795. The building that we're seated in, or I'm standing in, was erected in 1813 and extended in 1836 because it wasn't big enough. In the past 226 years, the church has had 20 pastors and Daniel will be number 21. So this is not something that is done very regularly. And we are thankful to God that this day is here and that we are able to celebrate together. So with that in mind, if you're able to, let's stand and sing our first hymn this afternoon, which is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Our Bible reading this afternoon is to be taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy and from the third chapter. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to break in at verse 10. Paul says to Timothy, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to lead a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." May the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to that reading from his word.
In prayer, shall we pray? Almighty God, we come before you. We remember that you are the eternal God. You are exalted and far above all that you have made. We humble ourselves and acknowledge your greatness, your glory, and your goodness. We thank you that you are the great creator. We thank you that your word is powerful. When you spoke your word, you brought all things into existence. Nothing has been made except by the power of your word. And so we know that you are a God to be feared, a God to be loved, a God to be worshipped and adored. We remember how in the very beginning you made Adam and Eve in your own image, and you gave them that ability to speak and have language, to communicate, they might understand your word. Oh, Father God, you are a glorious God, powerful word with communication of truth relates to our minds, that we might know you through the truth. Father, we remember how our first parents rebelled against you and they disobeyed your word. And you justly and righteously spoke the judgment. And your word of judgment came to pass, and this world is afflicted with suffering and with death. Your word is powerful, your word of creation and your word of judgment. Father, to you we remember that you spoke to them a word of promise, and we worship you that you are the God who keeps your promise. We remember the time of Noah, and the world was filled with violence and evil that grieved your heart, and you spoke that you would bring a great flood upon the earth, a day of judgment. And they mocked Noah, although he pleaded with them. They didn't believe in such a day of judgment, but your word came to pass. And so we worship you, Heavenly Father, your mighty word, always fulfilled in judgment and in salvation. Remember at the time of Abraham, and you chose Abraham out of the nations, and you made him to be the one who would, through whom blessing would come to all the nations of the world. You set him aside and gave him that special promise that from him would come a seed to whom the nations would be blessed. And Lord our God, we thank you that through the phases of Old Testament history, the time of Moses and the Exodus, through all the way through the history to David. Do you remember your servant David, how you confirmed that promise to him, saying that he would have one to sit on the throne forever and forever? And so this afternoon, Father, we come to worship you as the God who has kept your word, because at the right time you sent forth your Son, and he came forth as the true living word, your true revelation. Father, we worship you as the one who has revealed your Son as the descendant of Abraham and the descendant of David, the one who is going to bless the nations and the one who will reign forever and forever. And Lord our God, we thank you that the Lord Jesus in his life was perfectly obedient, and in his death he made atonement for our sins. Father, we come and declare to you that we depend on your Son Jesus. We have no other hope. We come not to declare our own righteousness, but to confess our sin and to declare that we depend on mercy, your steadfast love displayed at the cross. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away sin. We thank you for your faithful word that through this blood you bless us with forgiveness, reconciliation to you, and eternal life. Lord our God, we thank you too that you raised him from the dead on the third day, exalted him to your right hand. We thank you that he is reigning at your right hand today. He is the sovereign one and the great high priest. We thank you, Father God, that he still speaks through the Old Testament scriptures and through the apostolic scriptures. And Father God, we thank you that we have your written word. And we thank you that he sent forth the Holy Spirit that we might have understanding of it and a heart for it and a heart for obedience and a heart for you. Father God, we thank you for your Spirit who has nurtured faith and repentance within us that we might turn to you. And Lord our God, today we come and remember with thanksgiving at the church here at Stowmarket. We thank you for the many years that you have had a people created by your word, a people created by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is our prayer and desire that you might come upon this people today and that you might bless your people here. Father, we remember that the exalted Christ gives gifts to the church of pastors and teachers. And Father, we do believe that you're bringing Daniel here to be such a pastor and teacher, to bring the blessings of Christ to your people, to feed them that heavenly manna, to nurture them and encourage them and strengthen them, that they might fight the good fight, that they might run that race, that they might keep the faith. Lord our God, we pray that you would be present amongst your people. And we pray as we have this service of ordination and induction of Daniel, we do ask that your pleasure and your smile, your face would be towards him. Oh, Father God, hear our prayers. Draw near to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to this afternoon have a service. Firstly, we're going to be thinking about ordination, and then we're going to come to induction. So in regard to ordination is the public act of recognising a man who's been called by God to preach the gospel. And today we're recognising that Daniel Barden has been called by God to preach Christ. And we will lay our hands on him, asking for God's special empowerment as he is appointed to this task. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he chose and appointed 12 men to preach the message of the kingdom of God. And now in this era of Christ's reign from heaven, the Lord continues to give such preachers to the church. The Apostle Paul describes how the elders laid their hands on Timothy to set him aside for gospel ministry in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. So Daniel's going to share experience of God's grace and call in his life, and then I'm going to share how we've recognized that in Daniel's ministry at Arnold Road Evangelical Church over the last couple of years. So Daniel, if you'd like to share.
Oh, well, it's good to see so many faces here this afternoon. Thanks so much for coming, whether that's just down the road or from halfway across the country. It's great to know your support and your love this afternoon. So I guess the story really begins in Australia. At the age of 16, my family took us to the land down under. I didn't go to church at the time. I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't really understand the Bible. I really knew nothing about Jesus. And I guess you could say I lived my life my own way. I was doing all kinds of sins that I wouldn't say from the pulpit here. But towards probably about the age of 22, I had this overwhelming sense of two things. I suddenly felt guilty, and I felt, unfulfilled with the things that the world had to offer. And what was strange about that is that no preacher came and preached this to me. I didn't open up a Bible. I didn't see anything on TV. I just felt guilty, and I felt unfulfilled with the life I was living. And I didn't really know what to do. I knew one guy in the area who went to church, and so I messaged him and I said, look, this is the weirdest message you're ever going to get in your life, but can I come to to church with you this Sunday? And he took me to church that Sunday, and it was there that I heard the gospel preached, God's word was opened, and I realized that the Lord Jesus dealt with those two problems that I had. I knew that on the cross my guilt had been taken away, and that Jesus was the rivers of living water that could satisfy my thirsty soul. And so really, that very first Sunday, I put my faith in Jesus Christ and turned from my sin. And it didn't take me long to grow sort of hungry to know God and to know his word. I started devouring the scriptures and devouring theology books. I wanted, I guess, to learn more about the God who had so graciously made himself known to me. And in those first few months, God was actually giving me opportunities to instruct and disciple other Christians that I knew. And it was around that time that I maybe wondered if the Lord, maybe, I know it's quite early, but maybe might be calling me to ministry. It was maybe a first initial glimmer of where the Lord was taking me. Well, about a year later, I bumped into a guy in a Christian bookstore. His name was Luke, is Luke. And he was about to start ministry at a church in Australia, Grange Baptist Church. And really, he took me under his wing and gave me my first opportunity to preach. It was a terrible sermon. I'm really thankful that he let me back into that pulpit again. He was very gracious to me. But he took me under his wing and spent many hours, I guess, smoothing out the rough edges of my life and of my theology. He spent hours and hours and hours helping me to preach and to handle God's words. He constantly pointed me to Christ, and he really modeled to me what a faithful, gospel-loving pastor is. And at that time, I was sort of growing in my passion and desire to minister Christ and to see sinners brought into the kingdom of God. And so I was at the Grange for about 4 years. Luke gave me many opportunities to preach. I'd meet up with a few of the guys and disciple them, and I led a home group for 2 years as well. While Luke was training me, I spent 3 years studying a degree in theology at Queensland Theological College. They were the best 3 years of my life. It was so, I guess, invigorating learning the Bible. And it was at QTC that I discovered Reformed theology. I was an Arminian when I went into the college, and I came out a Calvinist. I was shown, you know, the wonderful doctrines of grace. And even better than that, how the gospel is central to all of life and all of ministry. You know, it's not just the thing that you believe when you first become a Christian and then you move on to better things. That's not possible. But the gospel is all of the Christian life. Well, my time at college was coming to an end, and I started asking the question, well, what's next? How can I go on and maybe test this call for ministry? And the occasion arose where I had an opportunity to travel to the UK. And it was during this trip that I went to Arnold Road Evangelical Church. They were looking for an assistant pastor to partner with Nathan, and I've been in contact with Nathan, and I went there, preached, and about a month later they had called me to be the assistant pastor. And so the last 2 years I've spent training at Arnold Road Church, and just like the previous four before that, they've been really the most wonderful 2 years of my life as well. I know COVID's been pretty tough on us all, but they were still two wonderful years. Nathan has been such a great encouragement to me. Like Luke, he's brought me under his wing, and I worked hard at encouraging me in my faith, in my inner life, in preaching, and in everything else. He's sacrificially given me so many opportunities to grow. He's been a great example of godliness. He might be embarrassed me saying this, he's the most heavenly-minded man I've ever met in my life. And it's been a joy partnering with him in the gospel. And it's only increased my love of Christ and for his gospel to spread, not just in this country, but around the world as well. So that's, I guess, just a small taste of God's call on my life. And I believe Nathan's now going to come up and say something about that call from his side.
Good. Thanks, Daniel. So just affirming how we as a church have seen those gifts develop in Daniel. So Daniel became the assistant pastor in September 2019. It was deliberately a two-year appointment so that he could then be sent out to be a pastor of a church. And there have been hindrances and limitations with the lockdown, but he has proved faithful through the difficulties, a faithful gospel preacher. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy about using his gifts in 1 Timothy 4:15, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. That's what Daniel has done in the 2 years with us. He's immersed himself in serving the Lord, being devoted to the work of the gospel, and we have seen that progress in him. I think the most fundamental requirement of a gospel minister is that they're converted. And it's so good, isn't it, that Daniel began with that in his testimony. A converted person is someone who is wholly dependent on Jesus Christ. And Daniel's expressed that, hasn't he? He's heard that prayer. He's sensed that guilt in his own life. And he's not looking to himself for his own righteousness before God, but outside of himself, he's embracing Christ by faith, leaning on Christ, trusting that all of his salvation comes from what Jesus has done. He has experienced salvation, and he has turned from his sin. He's repented from his sin. He recognizes the risen Jesus as Lord of all and is committed to living under his authority. Now, for 2 years, I've met with Daniel every Tuesday, pretty much every week, and we spent 2 hours and a bit more in the scripture and in prayer and in theology and in pastoral issues. And I've seen Daniel as well handling difficult situations. Daniel has demonstrated true faith and repentance. He's demonstrated the true life of Christ in his heart and his desire to live that out. The second key area, I think, for a gospel minister that I can affirm, I think, is a godly man, a godly man. A gospel minister must not only be converted, must be a godly man. Must be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, must love God from the heart, must have a sincere faith in God's word, and be pursuing holiness and purity of heart, a hunger and thirst for righteousness, a love for the church and for God's people, and be able to be humble and calm in controversy. Now, Daniel's not perfect, but Daniel is a godly man. And like us all, we all have to battle our own sins and our own faults. But Daniel is a man devoted to pleasing God. He's committed to being holy, and he has a heart for God's glory. The third area I think that's important for a gospel minister is gifts, abilities, and a heart for the work, a heart for the ministry. Daniel knows the centrality of prayer in the ministry. We have spent time in prayer together. He's committed to praying for the church and for the kingdom. Daniel knows the centrality of preaching the scriptures. He's committed to expository preaching, opening up the meaning of the text. But not just opening up the meaning of the text, looking to God's Spirit to flow through him to build God's people up. He knows the need of Holy Spirit anointed preaching, applying the word to people's lives. I think Daniel has a very special gift in preaching. He has a good, clear mind and a great doctrinal grasp, is able to illustrate and apply well. Daniel also knows the importance of pastoral care. He's met with different ones in the church consecutively, regularly, to build them up in Bible study and prayer. He's led home group. And I believe also a particular gift that Daniel has been given is the ability to train young men for ministry. We've seen that within our own church. Daniel's also experienced evangelism, going out with the evangelist in door-to-door evangelism, speaking with the mainly unconverted young people in our Friday's youth group. He's attended elders' meetings and leaders' meetings and knows about the importance of leadership in the church. He's been involved in a local minister's fraternal and is concerned, therefore, for the spread of the gospel, not only in his own church, but for the local area as well. Daniel knows the wisdom of working hard, but also the importance of resting each week. He knows the importance of ongoing development as a minister in ministers' conferences and in wider theological reading. And so I think in all of these ways, Daniel has shown both the gifts and the heart for gospel ministry. Daniel knows his faults, but he has great gifts for the kingdom. He has a solid knowledge of gospel doctrine. He has a true concern for the gospel to go forward. And he has a willingness to learn. I believe God has called him to be a gospel minister. And I believe it's right for us to ordain him and set him aside for this task. So I think, Daniel, if you want to come up. Going to read a little bit about ordination and then some statements and Daniel's going to make some promises before God and before us all. Daniel Barden, the role to which you have been set apart is of vital importance in the life of the church. It is a high calling and can only be fulfilled through humble dependence upon God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world. The gospel is God's message of love in his Son, providing salvation from sin and hell through faith alone in Christ crucified, and promising eternal life in the risen Lord. This gospel God entrusts to faithful men so that its life-giving truth may be proclaimed in this world. You are being set aside as a man entrusted by God to proclaim this gospel. Therefore, I ask you in the presence of God and before this church and all gathered here today, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and conduct?
I do.
Do you believe in your heart that God has truly called you to be entrusted with the gospel of eternal salvation, to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ, and to be a pastor in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you promise to fulfill faithfully God's charge to you, setting an example to the believers in holy conduct and godliness, preaching and teaching the Word of God, evangelizing the unsaved, praying for God's saving purposes to be accomplished, leading the church with humble submission to Christ, pastoring the members of the church with love?
God helping me, I do.
So if those who are going to, from Arnold Road, Hugh and David, and from the church here, I think it's Tim and John, would like to come forward. Daniel, if you want to just stand here, we'll lay our hands upon you. It's David, if you just come on the lower part. Hugh here. Daniel Barden, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and in recognition of the gifts and calling of God given to you, we lay hands on you and set you apart to be a gospel preacher. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bow before you and we bring before you your servant. Father, we believe that you have called him. You have called him into your kingdom. And we believe that in calling him into your kingdom, you have also set him apart to be a gospel minister. O Lord our God, we humble ourselves before you and we thank you for your risen Son who gives gifts to the church. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to Daniel. And we thank you for the heart that you have given to him to serve you. O Father, now as we lay our hands upon him, we ask for you to come and send forth your Holy Spirit upon him. There is no man able on their own to fulfill this calling unless you fill them with your Spirit. O Lord our God, fill this man with your Spirit. O Father God, open up his heart. Lord, fill him with love for you. Holy Spirit love. Father God, you are a God of love. Bring the fire of your love into his heart. We remember the Lord Jesus who came in love. He laid down his life. Fill Daniel's heart with the love of Christ. Fill his heart with love for this church. Fill his heart with love for the lost. Fill his mind with the truth of your word. Fill his mind with the truth of the gospel. Anoint him that he may have spiritual discernment in reading your word week by week, year by year, until he completes his course and finishes the race. Father, anoint him week by week as he preaches the gospel. Speak through him, Father God, we pray. May he have a boldness and a courage from heaven. May he fear no man. As the culture changes, as the world changes, as persecution comes, fill him with boldness and courage for Christ, to preach Christ, to lift up Christ. Oh Lord our God, we lay our hands upon him that you might give him every good thing, every good gift. Father, you know his heart, you know his faults, you know his struggles. Oh Lord, help him in these things. Purify his heart, Father, in every way. Strengthen him in those battles. Help him to resist the temptations of the evil one and the pull of this world. Father, we pray that his heart will be set on things above. We pray that he'll be devoted to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Father God, we pray that he will be a man after your own heart. Anoint him with your spirit, we pray. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you can... Daniel, I'm just going to say one more. Daniel, you are ordained to be a preacher of the gospel. God has entrusted you with the message of Christ Jesus. Hold fast to the truth of the gospel and preach the word of God. May the love and authority of Jesus Christ be upon you as you fulfill your holy calling. And may the blessings promised to Abraham and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, may these gospel blessings be spread abundantly through you as you preach Christ in all the scriptures in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, we come now in our service to the induction. So let me just explain what's happening now. The induction is the public act of recognizing a man who's been called by God to be the pastor of a local church. Today, we are recognizing that Daniel Barden has been called by Stowmarket Baptist Church to be their pastor. A pastor is a man called by God to teach and lead a local church and must care for the members of the church as one who will give account to God. The local church is to honour the role of the pastor. The bond of gospel love between pastor and church is going to be symbolised in the public shaking of hands. We will pray for God's blessing on this special relationship, asking God to help both parties to fulfil the responsibilities of love in Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, elders were appointed in the newly established churches, and a pastor is to fulfil this eldership role. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, saying that Christ gave pastors to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. The Apostle Peter urges elders to lead and care for the church with eagerness and humility. So Steve is going to share how God has led the church to call Daniel to be pastor here at Stowmarket. And then Daniel will share how God has led him to accept that call. Thanks, Steve.
Well, it's a real privilege for me to stand up in front of you all and welcome Daniel into the church. But I was just thinking of Tim's introduction when he said the church had been here 200 years. Well, I haven't been here 200 years, but I've been here over 40 years, and it is lovely to see the church full again. And we have seen times of blessing. We have seen the church full like this on many occasions. And we pray that the Lord will cause that to happen again here in Stowmarket. Probably you think, look at that old suit he's got on. Well, I thought in the Baptist tradition, I better wear a black suit for a Baptist induction service. And also in the tradition of Baptist churches, I thought, I better make 3 points. So I thought, well, they've all got to begin with the same letter, haven't they? So my first point is, this afternoon, we're rejoicing. We've gathered together to rejoice in God's goodness in providing us with a new pastor. But another rejoicing for the church secretary is, I haven't got a book any speakers for Sundays anymore. I can stand there and do the preaching. That's rejoicing. Another thing is remembering, second point. And we need to often remember what great things God has done to bring us to this special service today. Now, most of you aren't aware that Daniel and I have quite a few things in common. And the first thing is that both I and Daniel left England to go to Australia, a bit like the prodigal son. And we couldn't have gone much further away. But guess what? In a far country, our Heavenly Father called us. And we answered that call, and he brought us here rejoicing this afternoon. So that's remembering. The third one is reflections. And the first thing I want to say is some of the reflections that I'm thinking about this afternoon are that we both have friends from way back in Australia, and Tim welcomed the whole world who was live streaming. I would specifically like to welcome our Australian friends. G'day mate, how you going? And it's good that they can join this live stream. And I want to make them feel welcome and well received. So I don't know if you've noticed, but that screen is about half a second behind our movements. And I know that I've put that lag in time on the screen because our friends are always half a second behind us, so we need to let them try and keep up with us pommies. Let me get serious. We've already said, and we all know, that it has been a very strange year for the whole world with the COVID pandemic closing everything down and reducing travel and reducing the gatherings of people in a way that we could never have envisaged. As this came upon us in quite a sudden way, it was going to be a struggle to find preachers and prospective new pastors at such short notice. And I'm very grateful to the men in our own fellowship who were not only gifted, but willing to help in our time of need, and we were blessed with good ministry from these brothers. But we also needed to look further afield to find out men to preach and to begin the process of seeking the Lord's will for a new pastor. I knew that recently Bill James had been posted to the position of principal at the London Seminary. He is a man I had known for many years, and he had come to Stowmarket to preach on a few occasions, so I felt it may be wise to consult with him, as he is highly respected in the evangelical world, not only in England but overseas as well. I asked for his advice and also hoped to get the names of some of his students at the seminary who may be willing to come to Stowmarket and do some preaching for us. This was during the time that different lockdowns were coming into place, and it was difficult for men to come and preach for us. During this period, Bill contacted me saying that he had been in contact with a young assistant pastor who was looking to take up a full-time pastoral role. And as he knew both Daniel's gifts and the needs at Stowmarket, he felt that he could recommend that we invite Daniel to preach. At this time, it was just to meet and to greet and to see how we got on, and so we arranged for Daniel to come to Stowmarket to preach. Now, just at this time, different levels of lockdown were put in place by the government across the country, and they kept changing. On two occasions, we booked Daniel to come in person to preach on the 6th of December and the 31st of January, and each time rules were suddenly changed and no travel was permitted. And so on those occasions, we live streamed. But the feedback we received from various members in the fellowship on each occasion was very good. And at this time, the nation was in total lockdown, so the deacons were undecided how to move forward. The deacons unanimously agreed that we needed to get to know more of Daniel, and so organised a Zoom meeting with him on the 2nd of March, which turned out to be very productive and surprising, as we found that he was very much in line with our views, and also convinced of the doctrines of grace, which he's just told us about. And we at Stonemarket love and adhere to the doctrines of grace. He's also fully in support of the 1689 Confession, and we too hold to that confession of faith. He's also interested in working with young and older members of the fellowship, and has a real desire for outreach as well as promoting fellowship within the church. He was also taking this meeting very seriously, and following our Zoom meeting, he asked if he could see our church rules and constitution to find out the church's position on all important matters, and is very much in agreement with our Grace Baptist position. The next step was for Tim to contact Nathan, Daniel's pastor, and again Nathan is a man who has preached here on at least two occasions, and he's been to mine for a couple of times for lunch, so I know Nathan well, and he was also willing to send a very full and honest report on Daniel's skills and pastoral experience, and he also felt that Daniel would meet the needs of our particular church. At this time we knew that we had to get Daniel here to meet in person, and so arrangements were made for Daniel with his wife Brooke and lovely little Rosie, wherever she is with Grandma, or Ma, no Grandma, yeah, Ma sitting there. Yeah. They came to visit us, and he came to preach on the weekend of April the 18th. Again, we had very positive feedback from all the members that had heard him preach, but some of them felt that they needed to get to know Daniel in a bit of a more informal way, and so he was willing to come back another week and do the midweek Bible study for us, and then he was able to meet informally with those members who asked for a meeting with him. Following this visit, and considering feedback from church members, the deacons were unanimous in recommending calling Daniel to the position of pastor. The church meeting was called, and after hearing different members' comments and views, a ballot was taken, in which it was agreed by an overwhelming majority that we should call Daniel to the pastorate. We are so pleased that Daniel accepted this invitation, and we're here today to praise the Lord for his clear leading, and to rejoice in the knowledge that our sovereign God is still building his church, and we at Stonemarket can begin the next phase of God's work in our own town and district. The Lord willing.
Well, I don't have a black suit or 3 points for them.
We'll teach it.
Well, as I've already mentioned, I've spent the last 2 years at Arnold Rhodes Evangelical Church, and the point, as Nathan has already said, was to equip me in order to then send me out into full-time pastoral ministry. So the plan was never really for me to stay in Nottingham, but to send me out in God's good timing. So towards the end of my first year, Nathan and I spoke a good deal about what next. You know, do I need to stay on a little longer, or should I go off in search of full-time ministry? And Nathan encouraged me with the latter, and so while daunted by that, of course, I took his advice and the advice of the other leaders of the church, and I was open to see where God might lead me. But I didn't know how to do that. You know, how do you begin a process like that? It's not sort of like a secular job where you just apply and hope for the best, is it? This is the ministry, and so how do you begin? Well, I can't actually answer that question for you, but I can answer how it happens for me. I was also in contact with Bill from London Seminary, and he actually mentioned Stonemarket Baptist Church to me. He said that Stonemarket's a warm fellowship, and they're looking for preachers and eventually a pastor. And I didn't realise this, but as Steve said before as well, Stonemarket was also in contact with Bill in search of someone to come and preach here and maybe eventually become the pastor of the church. And Bill mentioned my name to Steve. And so in God's sort of providence and in his timing, the wheels began to turn. That was almost, close to a year ago now. Steve then got in contact with me in 2020, and shortly after, the deacons and I began that Zoom meeting. They drilled me with lots of questions, and they were really gracious in letting me drill them with lots of my questions too. And it became very clear that we were on the same pages with so many things, both theologically and in church ministry and practice. And I really treasured that time that we had together in those meetings. I was then given the opportunity to preach a number of times online so the church could get a bit of a feel for my ministry. But at this stage, there were still some uncertainties for me. I was regularly praying for the Lord's guidance. There was another church that had reached out to me in Colchester. The deacons here knew about that church, and the deacons there knew about here. And things were sort of moving ahead with both churches. And for a little while, I wasn't sure where the Lord was calling me. And I remember spending just a whole day in fasting and in prayer. I really wanted clarity from the Lord as to where He would be calling us. Well, about a week later from that, Brooke and I had the opportunity to visit the people in Colchester and also come here and preach at Stone Market and get to know the members. And it was during really that time, at least for us on our side, that things became really crystal clear. I have nothing bad to say at all about that church in Colchester. They were lovely, but it became clear to us that the Lord was probably going to be calling us here. When we met the church on Sunday, we fell in love with the people and the place and the direction of ministry as well. You were all so warm and are so welcoming to us. I was encouraged by your love for Christ, His people, and the community around us. And I really appreciated the difficult but necessary questions that some of you had for me about the kind of ministry that I would bring. So I look forward to giving myself to the pastorate here, to the preaching of the gospel of Christ, and to caring for the souls in front of me. It's a great privilege to minister at Stone Market, to stand in a line of other godly and faithful men and to follow in their footsteps. I'm thankful to the members for your grace and for your kindness to me and my family, for your support and for your love. And we look to the Lord together, don't we, as we look forward to what God will do as we partner with each other in the gospel.
So that's been good to hear how God worked in both the church and in Daniel's life to bring them together. So what we're going to do now is go through a set of promises. Firstly, Daniel's promises to the church, and then I'll ask for the members of the church, others to stand up. Others who are just visitors, we remain seated, but the members of the church will stand, and the members of the church will also be making some promises. Daniel, do you want to come up? Daniel, do you believe in your heart that God has truly called you to the pastoral oversight of this local church?
I do.
Do you promise to fulfil your pastoral responsibilities to Stowe Market Baptist Church, faithfully seeking to serve your Master in Heaven, to love the members, to feed their souls with the Word of God, and to pray for them?
I do.
As pastor of Stowe Market Baptist, will you seek the unity and maturity of the Church, recognising the final authority of the Word of God, and upholding the summary of doctrine contained in the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith?
I will.
As pastor of Stowe Market Baptist Church, will you lead the church to spread the glorious gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, labouring to make disciples of Jesus Christ in this town?
I will.
So can I ask now for the members of Stowe Market Baptist Church to please stand? Do you, the members of Stowe Market Baptist Church, affirm your love and loyalty to Almighty God and your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour? And do you affirm that you desire to live together in the grace of Christ, obedient to the Holy Scriptures? Do you receive Daniel Barden to be pastor of this church? Do you commit yourselves to support him as he fulfills his holy responsibilities as pastor? To love him? To pray for him? To attend to the preaching of God's word? To accept his pastoral care? To submit to his leadership under Christ? And to provide for his financial needs? On this joyful and solemn occasion of uniting a pastor and a church, will you offer afresh your varied gifts in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ to work together to edify the church, to do good works, and to spread the gospel for the glory of God? Steve is now going to give Daniel the right hand of fellowship. Yes.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in this time together this afternoon and thank you again for the way you've led us and blessed us and kept us. Now we pray that the Holy Spirit will equip and empower Daniel for the task ahead and encourage members to pray together often for the conversion of sinners. May the Lord give Daniel a strong arm to throw out the seed of the gospel and for that seed to take root in good soil. May church members be prepared to use their variety of spiritual gifts to support and encourage one another in the spreading of the good news. And may God be pleased to bless our labours and bring spiritual growth within the fellowship. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's been good to have the ordination and the induction of Daniel. But I want to now invite Brooke to come up. God has been gracious to Daniel to give him a wonderful wife. And the scripture has a very high estimate of the role of women in the kingdom of God and of the importance of the role of wives and mothers in the Christian family. While it is God's will for men to lead in both the family and the church, it is also his will for women to be equal members in the church of God. Brooke, God has saved you and brought you into his kingdom. Your faith is in Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven. May the Holy Spirit fill you with every good desire to serve the Lord Jesus, to be a godly wife as you support Daniel in his holy calling, to be a prayerful and holy mother, to be a member of this church, building up this body of believers with the gifts that God has given you, and to speak boldly of your Saviour Jesus to those who don't yet know his salvation. I'm going to ask him now to welcome you into membership.
It's my privilege and my pleasure, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, having heard your testimony, to welcome you into membership here at Stowmarket Baptist Chapel. There's a little card there to commemorate the occasion. Bless you. We're just going to pray for Brooke and for the wider family. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that every moment of every day as your children is beneath your control. We thank you that you've called us to be your children, that you've brought us out of that miry pit, that you've set us and our feet upon a rock which is Christ Jesus. We thank you for Brooke's testimony of your goodness to her, of her salvation which is found only in Jesus Christ. And Father, as we welcome her into membership here, we pray for her. We thank you for her gifts and her abilities. We thank you for the marriage that you've given to her and the family that she has. We pray, dear Lord, that you would protect her from the attacks of the evil one. We pray, Father, that as she goes about the work of a mother and of a wife and of a church member here, that you would bless everything that she puts her hand to. Father, we pray for little Rosie too, and for the little one yet to be delivered. We ask, dear Lord, that you would have your hand of blessing on this next generation. We covet their souls for your kingdom. And we ask, dear Lord, that in due time, that they would come to recognize, as we have, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith in him. Father, we thank you that it is you that build your church. We are about your work, and we seek your blessing upon Daniel and Brooke and upon the church here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, how good that God has set aside Daniel and brought him here and brought Brooke here as well. And the members have brought their promises and we're all here in support. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Let's stand to sing. In the reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy and gives him the charge to preach the word. In verse 5, he gives a number of instructions to be watchful, to endure afflictions, to do the work of an evangelist. And finally, he says, "Fulfill your ministry." 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, "Fulfill your ministry." And those three words that I want to bring to you, Daniel, in the message this afternoon: you've been ordained and you've been inducted. This is a message for Daniel, but it's a message it's important for the members of the church to be listening into, to have right expectations and right prayers for you, and for all of us as we seek to fulfill our ministries. Fulfill your ministry. Ministry, it means service. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not free to do as we want. We've given ourselves up to him. We are in his service. We are under covenant obligation to our master. He is our Lord. We serve the Lord. We're under his authority. It's the Lord Jesus Christ we serve. Well, what does God call you to do? What does Christ call you to do and to serve in gospel ministry? Verse 2 says, preach the word. And that summarizes it, but we're going to open it up a bit more. But preach the word. The word is the gospel message. Preach the gospel. The word is the Holy Scriptures. Preach through the Holy Scriptures. Preaching the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Your ministry is to preach the word. I'm going to just briefly look at six spheres where preaching the word can be considered. Firstly, live the word by a holy example to the church. A preacher must not only preach, but practice what he preaches. A preacher is not to be a hypocrite. Is to be an example of godliness, full of love and grace and service, with a holy heart and a holy life. Secondly, directly preaching. Preach the word. Sunday by Sunday, opening up the text is scripture. I know you do it prayerfully, but I exhort you to continue in that. Opening up your heart to God, that God would speak to you through the word, that what you've received in your heart will be transmitted to the heart of those who hear. More than just doctrinal explanations, though doctrinal explanation is important. More than a giftedness, but the heart alive with the truth of Christ. Expounding the Bible in the power of the Spirit from a sincere heart of love. Lifting up Jesus Christ that those who hear are transformed to have their faith in Christ and to be like Christ. Live the word, preach the word. Thirdly, pray the word. As your ministry is to be living the word and preaching the word, your ministry is to be praying the word. The preacher knows that he depends on God for success. Ask God to build the church. Be a man of prayer. Put it in your diary. Appointment with God. Meeting God. Set time to pray. In that time, the heart is realigned to the heavenly ways, to God's heart. And so we then know how to live, how to minister. We have heavenly wisdom because we've spent time in heaven. Humble yourself under your Creator. And unburden yourself before your loving Father. Fourthly, spread the word. Evangelize. A gospel preacher is a missionary. You're a missionary to Stowmarket. Be dedicated to see people in this place brought to Jesus Christ. Be actively involved in personally sharing the gospel with people who don't yet know the Saviour. Don't be satisfied only to preach to the saints, but love the lost. Preach the gospel, however the Lord leads you. Preach the gospel in this town and in the homes in this town. Fifthly, pastor the word. Pastor the word. A preacher must truly love the local church and spend time individually, personally, with the members of the church and the families of the church and be concerned for their everyday lives. Have special care for those in times of crisis and times of need and special preparation for those facing important changes in their lives. And sixthly, lead under the word. Pastor with the word, lead under the word. You are a leader. But lead under the word. The pastor is an elder and has leadership responsibilities. It's going to involve organization, building teams for service, bringing proposals to the church, envisioning new ministries. Daniel, God has called you to fulfill your ministry to Jesus Christ, to this church. Be a preacher and be a pastor. So I charge you to fulfill your ministry. Be a holy man. Live the word. Preach the word Sunday by Sunday. Pray the word continually. Do the work of an evangelist. Spread the word. Pastor with the word. And lead under the word. Daniel, I charge you, fulfill your ministry. Now. That's not the end of the sermon. Now. I've laid a great weight on Daniel. He feels that responsibility keenly. And he knows he's not sufficient. So what I want to spend the rest of the time thinking about is in encouraging you how to fulfill your ministry. You know what you are to do. You know that. How to fulfill this ministry. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Remember your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, Daniel, what he has done. Remember what he is doing. And remember, Daniel, what he will do. Remember what Christ has done. Remember what Christ is doing. And remember what Christ will do. Firstly, then, remember what Christ has done. Fulfill your ministry by remembering what Christ has done. Christ has done it all. Christ has accomplished it at the cross. His atoning death has won it all. He died for us. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is by grace. We lift him up. He's the Savior, not us. What a relief. He's the Savior. We lift him up. Salvation is a gift of God. Jesus fulfilled his ministry. Jesus was obedient to do God's will. We fulfill our ministry by following his example. And Jesus said this, John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now we all know shepherd, pastor, it's the same meaning, isn't it? Here we have a description of the good pastor. Jesus is the good pastor. And Jesus sets a model of the good pastor by laying down his life for the sheep. Now this is a principle. Lay down your life for the sheep. Fulfill your ministry by remembering what Christ has done. Lay down your life for the sheep. For Jesus, it was an atoning sacrifice. For us, it's in constantly giving of ourselves. We die that they might live. It is an attitude that produces a lifestyle. We give our life that there might be spiritual life in the church. We spend ourselves to build them up. Fulfill your ministry by remembering what Christ has done. And Jesus said this to his disciples in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus had all things in heaven, and he came down to earth to be a servant on earth, to serve, to give. And he's speaking these words to his disciples in the context of their ministry. He says in the earlier verse, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. You've been appointed and ordained as a minister. A firstness, a greatness has been given to you. And that means, therefore, you must fulfill that ministry in an attitude of a servant and slave of all. this is not easy to fulfill. How do we as ministers avoid pride and arrogance? We've been exalted to have this role by remembering Jesus Christ, remembering what he did. He came to serve. It humbles us. We give ourselves for God's people. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 10, says, "We always carry in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." We've talked about that verse. Such an important verse for gospel ministry. How does gospel ministry go forward? How is it fulfilled? A combination of the death of Jesus, his suffering, and the resurrection of Jesus, his power. Ministry is about hardship and toil and suffering, and ministry is about victory and triumph in the power of the Spirit. Daniel, you are called to follow the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. You proclaim Christ, him crucified and risen, and you experience it as well as you fulfill your ministry. You experience the suffering, that eternal life might flow through you by the power of God. How can you set your face to this ministry, this path of the cross? By remembering Jesus Christ, how he set his face to the cross. When his heart was troubled, he had that choice, he had that anguish in John, doesn't he? He says, "Father, save me from this hour," but no, "Father, glorify your name." That's what took him through the suffering. It's not what I would prefer, it's for your glory. Remember how Jesus triumphed. Fulfill your ministry by remembering what Jesus has done. Secondly, Daniel, remember what Christ is doing. Now, Jesus was crucified on that Friday morning, and he hung on the cross those 6 hours, and he died. He was buried, and on the third day he rose and was seen by his disciples for 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven, and his heavenly ministry began. He's appointed there the Christ, the Lord, the great high priest, the ruler of heaven and earth, our King and Saviour. And at Pentecost, he sent forth the Holy Spirit to fulfill the ministry that he is doing from heaven. His presence with us, his reign on earth by the Spirit, his kingdom of salvation in new covenant glory. What is Christ doing now? He's reigning. He's ruling. He's building his church by the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Spirit. Daniel, fulfill your ministry by remembering where Christ is now. What Christ is doing now. Jesus is seated at the right hand in the heaven of God in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Remember Jesus' words before the ascension. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." This is a great commission to you. He is the one with all authority. Let that strengthen you in going and in making disciples. This is your ministry, to bring people to Christ, to bring people to the point of conversion, to see faith in Christ. He is the Saviour, repentance from sin, and he is the Lord. Bring them to that point and baptize them. And then teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, says Jesus, to obey everything that Jesus commands. How will you fulfill this ministry? By remembering Jesus' authority is with you. This task is essential. You have the highest authority commissioning you. Let no earthly authority stop you. Let nothing cause you to compromise this message or be distracted from it. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know where this nation is going. We don't know what persecutions we may face. But whatever they may be, fulfill your ministry by remembering you are commissioned by the one with all authority. And he says to you, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is with you. Be strong and very courageous. His strength is with you. Be bold and persevere, because Jesus says, I am with you always. The Apostle Paul to the Ephesians reminded them of Jesus' ascension and gifts to the church. And we've read this verse already, but in Ephesians 4:11, he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. What Christ is doing, he's saving people, and some of those people he's taking apart for himself and pushing them into the church, saying, this is my gift to the church, build these people up. Christ has called you to be a shepherd teacher for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Your ministry is to activate the members. So members, beware. Your ministry is to get every member serving with all their might, with all their gifts, to unite the church and to spread the gospel. Because Christ is actively building his church. You are a part of what Christ is doing now. You've been called by Christ himself to build this church. Perhaps you do feel overwhelmed, but remember these words that Jesus spoke to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Jesus is full of grace. His grace is sufficient for you. And Jesus is full of power. His strength is sufficient for you. Fulfill your ministry, Daniel, by remembering what Jesus is doing. And then thirdly, remember what Christ will do. So far we have looked back and remembered what Christ did on the cross as he gave himself. Gospel ministry is cross-shaped. We've also looked up and remembered the risen, reigning Lord Jesus. Gospel ministry is under the authority of the exalted Lord in the power of the Spirit. But now we'll look to the future. What will Christ do? Jesus is returning in glory and in power. Jesus is going to judge this world and bring an end to history. Jesus is going to raise his people and give them a great reward, and he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. Jesus' future work is to have a massive influence on you fulfilling your ministry. Jesus spoke in Matthew 24 about himself coming back. He said about the faithful servant there, Matthew 24, 45 to 51, he sets the faithful servant over his household. Over the household, the pastor, over the church. He sets them over the household, pastoral care for the church, to give them their food at the proper time. Feed the church, preach the word. The pastor is to feed the church. Blessed is that servant, Jesus says in verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. What a wonderful thing if Jesus comes when you're preaching the gospel. Blessed, fulfilling the ministry on the day of Christ. And he says to that person who is blessed, he will set him over all his possessions. Whatever that means, it means great reward. Be faithful, fulfill your ministry, a great reward to those who are faithful. But to the wicked servant, who says to himself, my master is delayed. The attitude, in other words, to the future is, I'm not going to be held account for this. They're only thinking in this worldly terms, this age terms. He begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. Here, perhaps, the description of the pastor who becomes harsh towards the church, finds more friendship with those who are in the world, and has forgotten the day of accountability. And Jesus says, the master will return and cut him to pieces and cast him to the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus encourages you strongly, fulfill your ministry and you will be greatly rewarded. But if you forget that day of accountability, woe to you, because he will hold you to account. Daniel, fulfill your ministry by remembering what Jesus will do. Jesus will return. Jesus will reward the faithful pastor. Never be slack. Be faithful in preaching the word. The Apostle Paul had this in his heart so much. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he gives the picture of a pastor as a builder. He said, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. He said, let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But there are two types of builders. One who builds with gold and silver and precious stones, another with wood, hay and straw. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. The fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And Jesus Christ is the returning judge to test the work of us pastors. We must view that day. We must see the fire coming and build what we do. Build in preparation that it will endure the test of the fire. Fulfill your ministry in sincerity. And it is this future orientation that Paul has in mind in the passage we read at the beginning in 2 Timothy. Paul is ending his ministry. He's fought the good fight and he's finished the race. And he's concerned for Timothy to fulfill gospel ministry. And this is what he says. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. We are to preach as men commissioned by Christ who will be accountable to Christ. Jesus will judge us when he appears. But then just those few verses later, Paul says this, henceforth, as a faithful minister, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Love his appearing. Remember he's coming. Remembering he's got a crown with him, the crown of righteousness he'll put to you to reward you. Look forward to that day of reward. And so fulfill your ministry and serve the Lord. So as we close, what a great calling God has given to you and you have received. You're a gospel minister. Serve the church by preaching the word. Live the word. Be a holy example. Preach the word. Pray the word. Spread the word. Evangelize. Pastor the word. And lead under the word. Fulfill your ministry by fixing your eyes on Jesus. Look full into his face. Remember what he has done. Remember what he is doing, and remember what he will do, and so fulfill your ministry. Amen. Well, we're going to sing together now. O Thou who camest from above. Let's stand to sing. Rejoice in your great grace. We thank you for the gift of your Son and salvation in him. And we rejoice that he gives gifts to the church. Father, this afternoon we thank you for your servant Daniel. We thank you for his salvation. We thank you for his ordination and his induction here at Stowmarket Baptist. We thank you for Brooke, his wife, for her membership here and her love and support for Daniel. We pray for them. Bless them, Heavenly Father. And we pray for the church here. Oh, may your grace be mightily upon the church. Father, we pray for fresh tokens of your love. We pray for people to be saved in these soon days. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will be at work, that the gospel will be made clear. Strengthen your people, we pray. And now, Father, as we have fellowship together, we do thank you for the food that we're going to eat. We thank you for the blessing of being able to mix together and speak to each other and encourage one another. Bless this time to us, and for those travelling back, keep us safe on our journeys. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.